Hey guys, Eric Peacock here with the Get Fit with Eric podcast. Want to today talk about four nutritional blunders people make when they're trying to lose body fat and tone up. And I want to make sure we cover these because I see a lot of people with good intentions, but the way they're executing is not getting them the results that they want. So I want to cover these today. So hopefully that you're, you know, maybe if you feel like you're stuck or you're not making progress, one of these comes to fruition that this might be what's keeping you from getting the results that you want. So number one I'm going to talk about is not being in a caloric deficit. That should be your number one priority for everything. A lot of people are doing things like keto, low carb, you know, whole foods, eating health, making healthier choices. But even if you're eating those type of, you're doing those type of food plans, if you're not in a caloric deficit, you're not going to lose fat. Because when you're in a deficit, your body has to go in and get reserve energy. That is stored fat to get through the day. So we have to be in a deficit if we're going to lose fat, no matter how good we're eating or if we're doing something like a keto or low carb. And really what you need is a 3,500 calorie deficit to lose a pound of fat. And so if you're a 500 calorie deficit per day times 7 days out of the week, that would be a pound of fat a week. And most people, if they really start to add it up, they underestimate how much they eat and they overestimate how much they move. So we have to, I really don't believe you want to cut tons of calories from your diet. You want to cut some from your diet and you want to increase your activity. That's the best way to lose body fat without losing a lot of muscle mass. So we have to make sure we're in a caloric deficit first and foremost. And a good way to do that is if you haven't ever used this app, the MyFitnessPal app is probably the easiest app to use. It's the one we use with most of our clients when we look at how they're doing in terms of food intake. And a little key with that, if you're going to use that, you're going to make sure that whatever you enter on that, because that app has a lot of entries. So let's say you have chicken breast as an entry, and you're going to pick that same entry and use it over and over again. One of my friends that's a trainer, he calls it good, bad information. So whatever you're entering in there, make sure it's the same entry over and over again. And that way you'll know you're pretty accurate on your calories. If you're always entering a different chicken breast entry, it's going to be hard to be accurate. So that is a great app to use. Number one, cut your calories maybe by 20% under your maintenance is a good place to start if you're trying to lose body fat. And just make sure you're consistently hitting there. Some days you're going to be over, and that's okay. But most days you should be under. You know, it's a game of math. And so we have to just simply have less calories that we're taking in than we're burning off. And a lot of times we're not that, even though we fill our diets with healthy food, we just eat too much of it. So that's number one. Number two is poor meal timing. Now, we can still have a caloric deficit in theory, but what I see with a lot of people when I look at their food journals is we don't eat that much during the day, and they eat maybe 70% of their calories at dinner at night and into the evening. Now, it takes yourself about 3 hours to digest food. And so if I'm eating an hour or two before I'm going to bed, a lot of times that food's going to be sitting in my stomach and you're going to be more prone to store that as body fat. So really what we want to do is spread those calories out throughout the day, and those meals should be equal. Or ideally what I like to see is people to eat more at breakfast and lunch and to have a lighter dinner, because like I said, you want that food to be digested by the time you go to bed, and you want to be in a somewhat of a fasted state when you go to bed if you're going to get into an ideal fat loss position. So making sure our meals are timed, eat pretty evenly spaced apart too. Another thing I see is, why do people eat so much at night? Sometimes one of the best things you can do is to have a mid-afternoon snack, because, you know, typically we eat lunch maybe around noon and we don't get dinner till like maybe 6, 6:30. That's six and a half hours without eating. And by that time, our blood sugar can drop low, which will make us very hungry and more prone to overeat at night. So, you know, I really think you kind of do a little bit of playing around here. 3 to 5 meals a day for most people is good. Make sure you're getting at least 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then 1 to 2 snacks to fill in the gaps. You know, I'm a person that needs to eat about every 3 to 4 hours. Some people can do good with 5 hours, but you have to know yourself. And if you find yourself eating a lot at night and being more hungry at night, that's probably one of the things, you're not eating enough early in the day, and you might benefit from that afternoon snack to keep your blood sugar nice and stable, which will keep your hunger and cravings lower. So get your body into a rhythm. One of the biggest things I learned when I was doing, bodybuilding physique shows is getting your body into a rhythm works really well too. So you're eating similar things at similar times a day, and your body kind of gets used to that, and it seems to really, really work well with your metabolism. You know, if your eating is always erratic, your metabolism will never really get into a rhythm. And so boring is good, actually. So try to keep your food lists fairly short and try to eat around the same time each day and get your body into that nice, you know, rhythm like it's used to. And then that way you're going to see better results overall. And it's going to be a lot easier to manage your nutrition plan. And so if you're always trying to make these big changes every day, most people are really busy and it's hard to make a lot of shifts. And plus when you're cooking food and things like that, when you have, you know, like let's say you do a chicken breast and rice for lunch. Let's say that's a sample of a lunch that might not be palatable for you. But, you know, if you cook up a bunch of rice and you grill up a bunch of chicken breasts, you can kind of just wash, rinse, repeat every day. And, you know, not worrying about having to have like some gourmet meal for lunch every day. So keep it simple. Boring is good. Time your meals evenly and really make sure you're done eating about 3 hours before you go to bed. Make sure you're eating enough earlier in the day. And then if you have to throw a snack in there, just so you don't overeat at night, because that's usually the number one meal timing issue that I see with most people. Number three is poor macronutrition balance. So typically the biggest one I always see here is people eat too many carbohydrates. And carbohydrates, what they do is they actually elevate your insulin levels. They elevate your blood sugar more than protein and fat do. And when you elevate your blood sugar, your body's going to reduce more of the release, there we go, more of the hormone insulin. Now, we need insulin to basically take that broken down carbohydrate and form it into what's called glucose, which is like basically blood sugar, and push it ideally into the fat and the muscle cells. The muscle cells and the liver cells. There we go. And that way, it's being stored as energy that's in the right areas. But the problem is, if we get too much insulin too often, we're going to have chronically high levels of insulin, and then we're going to be more prone to push that into the fat cells. And you can kind of think of it as like your muscle cells are like a sponge and carbohydrates are like water. Once you saturate the sponge full of water, if you add more water, that there's a spillover effect. And that spillover effect is typically what we see with fat gain when it comes to spiking our blood sugar, eating too many carbohydrates. So we want to eat just enough to fuel our body, but we don't want to overdo it. And we want to make sure we're eating carbohydrates in pretty much a gram, close to a gram for gram balance with protein. This is another good thing to track on MyFitnessPal, is a lot of people I see things like 56 grams of carbohydrate and 8 grams of protein, when really we'd want to see something more like 25 to 30 grams of carbs, 25 to 30 grams of protein, getting that more equal, because protein will actually slow down the emptying time of a meal, which keeps your blood sugar stable, which keeps your insulin levels at a good level that you can burn fat but still get the energy you need to do the things you need to do. And also, you know, thinking about that balance, so like a good place to start is about 40% of your calories from carbohydrate, 30% from protein, 30% from fat. And so we want to have a good macronutrient balance. So even though we're trying to consume under our caloric, you want to create that caloric deficit, we want to make sure that those calories are a nice balance of those macronutrients. Because if I'm under 500 calories under my caloric maintenance, but I'm eating all sugar, chances are my hormones are not going to let me burn fat because my blood sugar is going to be through the roof. And I see this a lot, is a lot of times the quality of the food that we're eating is keeping the body fat on, because hormones are being programmed. When insulin is high and blood sugar is unstable, your body basically is programmed to store fat, to keep it on you, just like a sticks to you like glue, basically. So make sure we're balancing all our macronutrients. That's number three. And start with a 40-30-30 mix. All right, that's a good place to start. And you can set all this up on the MyFitnessPal app as well. Finally, metabolic interrupters. I call these things that are just not good for your metabolism, but you don't necessarily gain fat when you put them in, but they definitely screw up your metabolism. So one of the big ones I see is alcohol. People drink alcohol, you know, a lot of times, you know, maybe have a drink or two a night or 3 to 4 nights a week. And every time you drink alcohol, it interrupts your metabolism. It takes your fat burning metabolism offline. It messes with your hormones. It's empty calories that they kind of butt in the way of, in front of carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. And they can act a lot like sugar. So if you're really serious about losing fat, I would really recommend that you get your alcohol consumption down to once a week max, all right? And just a couple drinks. Don't binge drink on that once a week and act like it's a last proverbial supper of alcohol. Number two is just those little treats that you see throughout the day. A lot of times people like to run to places like Caribou or Starbucks and get those coffee drinks, which contain a lot of sugar. And I had a client years ago, and she was complaining she wasn't getting lean, and I had her record everything she was eating for 2 weeks. And every day she was going to Caribou and either getting one of those drinks or she was getting a muffin, processed muffin from a bread store nearby. And I said, give me 2 weeks of not eating any of those treats on a day-to-day basis, and let's see what happens. And literally, it was amazing. In 2 weeks down the road, I could see much more definition and tone. She could see it. And it was like a big eye-opener for her. Those little things every day that can interrupt the metabolism, typically you're going to be sugar or alcohol. If you're taking those in on a day-to-day basis, even though all the other stuff's good, it's something that basically is going to keep you stuck in a kind of a neutral. You're not really gaining fat, but you're not losing it either. So you have to watch and see if you got some of those things sneaking in every day. I see a lot of times people sneaking in chocolate or some type of sugar treat every day, kind of intermingled with all the good stuff. But just what I've seen in my 25 years is that you really have to dial it in tight and give yourself a good 5 or 6 days of none of that stuff. And then, have it a couple times a week, but space it out a little bit. Don't have it every single day just so you don't interrupt that metabolism. Remember I said metabolisms like to be in a rhythm, so this basically throws these things out of rhythm. So those are just 4 quick nutritional blunders that I see are pretty common when I look at food journals, because I look at a lot of them every week. And, I'm here to get people results and tell the truth. And sometimes people don't like to hear the truth. But I love the saying, the truth, it might hurt, but it heals. And lies comfort and kill. And the old, everything in moderation and, one won't hurt you. It's kind of true in a sense when it comes to health. But if we're looking at fat loss and people are like, hey, man, I want to get in, a woman saying, I want to get in my 2-piece bikini this summer, or a guy saying, I want to look good on, be able to take my shirt off and feel good about it. These are things you got to pay attention to. All right. 70-80% of your results comes from nutrition. So you really have to take these things to heart. You can't outwork a bad diet. And so get your nutrition dialed in. If you need help, always reach out to me via Facebook, or you can email me at info@purevitafitness.com. But hopefully this podcast was helpful. And I will talk to you next week with more nutritional advice. Thanks. All right, guys, this is Eric. I'm back here today with our Get Fit with Eric podcast, and we've got a special guest, Beth Dean, who her and I go way back to the old Northwest Athletic Club days. We've been working together on and off for, it's been 20 years probably. And I've got Beth here because she has a real passion for helping women that have to deal with emotional eating and their relationship with food. And she has a lot of good things to say. In fact, we just did a great event called Are You Stuck? And she spoke there and she nailed it. And it was just a phenomenal presentation. So I asked her to be on this podcast so she could share some things with us. And I think she's got quite a story of her own to tell. So I'm going to let her tell that story before we get started.
Thanks, Eric. Basically, my own story is that about 12, I'd be like most women, I dieted off and on for years, but about 12, 13 years ago, my mother passed away, and that's when it really peaked. I know we can all say that grief was there, and for sure it was, but at that time, I sought some help and actually was diagnosed with an eating disorder, but knew that wasn't really it. So I started training myself and taking courses on food and nutrition, and I got certified in an eating psychology course, learning it myself. And about 9-10 years ago, I did something through Precision Nutrition that really, it was also, the program was good, but it was also, I was ready to invest in myself. And I got healthy on the inside, and then that helped change my outside. And I can tell you today, it's still daily. I have to work at this. This will always be part of my story. But I do want to share with you that there is hope. You can work through this. I like to say, I think a lot of people think they may have eating disorders, and there are those that truly, truly do. But I think a lot of us struggle more with something called disordered eating or disordered healthy patterns that are harming us. And so it's working on those. I think more of us fall into that.
Awesome. And, Beth, I know we have guys and gals in the studio, and probably most of our clients really are women. And women seem to typically deal with this issue more than guys. And so why do you feel like women are so prevalent? It's such a prevalent issue with them. They know what they're supposed to eat. They know what they need to do, but they fall into these, like you said, these patterns. What do you think the main cause of that is?
Well, I think there's multiple things that happen in our lives. Women become caregivers and they don't focus on themselves and their own self-care. But I also think a lot of women have either read, been shared with peers or friends, a lot of toxic beliefs, dietary beliefs. They're going to be happy when they can focus too much on the size of their clothes or on the scale. They get caught into these belief patterns, or if they eat a certain food, they're a bad person, or if they're not, you know, they're going to be on their diet or they're not on their diet. They get caught into these toxic patterns that become true. They actually see them as true versus challenging them and seeing, is this really a truth or just something I've started to believe or grow up with? And it's breaking some of those belief patterns and even things of like perfectionism.
Awesome. So with when somebody's going through this emotional eating thing, you know, you've gone through it and you said like it's not like you've arrived, you still have to work at it. But what were the first steps? I mean, what do you think are the first steps somebody needs to take to start to really get through this and overcome this barrier?
I would suggest seeking help, finding somebody that you trust, or somebody that's, has some training, such as myself, to help you work through it, a safe place, somebody you can talk to. Also, slowing down, becoming more mindful, and just not only will that help you physically, your metabolism, chronic stuff, digestive issues, it also helps you become aware of what your patterns are. And so I think slowing down is huge, and also seek help. It's okay to seek help. And there's a lot of people out there that really, such as myself, that really are passionate about this and want to see people get on this other side.
That is always such a big thing too. And I think a lot of us feel it's a weak thing to seek help, but that's where the transformation begins. And so if somebody were to work with you, describe just briefly how you would start out with somebody, or how do you like to work with people? Because people probably never have worked, a lot of people, with a nutrition coach, somebody that's going to do that. You know, a lot of people understand what personal training is, but you do more than that with your precision nutrition background. So explain to us like what you would do with somebody if you first met with them, or the first couple times you met with them.
First, if they're specifically dealing with the emotional eating or some disordered eating or health patterns, it's getting them to start opening up and sharing their stories, what's going on, in a very safe place, very non-judgmental place, and then starting to seek those first things might be how they're living their life, what they're thinking. I give them material and homework to start reading and looking at. And that's so individual. Everything is so individual. And so oftentimes, the food is secondary. Their primary, I like to call it primary and secondary food. Primary food can be your work, your faith, your family, these other things. And we start to look at that. And then we start to address the food. The food, a lot of times we can change almost easier once we can start to break some of these other things that are happening in their lives and the stories they're telling themselves. So I usually meet with somebody and then do a lot of like virtual talking. I give a lot of homework that they can handle. And they can be sometimes in your emotional, sometimes it's, you know, movement, sometimes it's self-care, sometimes it's with food. So it varies and it changes, but yeah.
Do you have any like good breakthroughs or success stories you'd like to share with us? I mean, you can, I know obviously you don't want to maybe say the person's name, but maybe share one of your big breakthroughs. I know you always talk about the paycheck of the heart. It's always a big, it's always a big up. I know for myself, when you see somebody have a breakthrough and see some, not just the physical transformation, but the mental transformation occur.
I can think of somebody a few years back. She was really not feeling worthy and breaking, just beating herself up. And she was seeking counseling with food. And then she was coming and talking to me about food and stuff. But it became a part of her. She had a lot of miscarriages earlier in her life. And it became part of her story, became part of her life, that this... all those struggles, just she was still beating herself up and still feeling that sorrow and grief and struggles there, and using food as a comfort. And so it was getting her to break that or stop that little part of her cycle, and then start to see how food, instead of using it as a comfort, I like this idea of stop fearing what food will do to you and start embracing what food can do for you. And so we started to work on that and how she could use food to make her feel better and get her mojo back versus using it to comfort and beat herself up and then feel bad, not only about what happened in her past, but then feeling bad about her body and currently. So she was able to break that story and start eating healthier and doing things that, you know, benefited her. And it's cool to see her now.
That's awesome. I mean, I like the what food can do for you instead of what does it do to you. It's just, you know, about shifting their perspective. A lot of times that, you know, I found that that outside perspective really kind of helps you make a mindset shift. There we go. And it's funny because, like, you know, sometimes just a few words can make all the difference in the world, and all of a sudden it's like a light goes on. So if somebody were going to work with you, Beth, can you share with us some of your contact information? I'll put them in the notes of the podcast as well. But I know some people, like emotional eating, you know, some people don't want to be real public about this. So if somebody could reach out to you just to set up maybe some type of, just a real easy phone call, somebody who might be struggling with this, how would they do that?
Just real simple. My cell phone number is 651-308-4814, and you could text me, you can give me a call, and we can go from there as far as setting something up. Anything you share with me, of course, is in confidence. That's part of our whole industry, really. We are to keep things in confidence and with integrity. But I would love to help you. I'd love to see you feel good about yourself and get the mojo back. And I know Eric and I both just feel really strong about all of this. It's not only our work, it's our ministry, it's our passion to help people. When you start to feel better, you're not only changing your life, you're changing the people around you and changing what you can do in life, or maybe what God has for you. You can start living that out. So it's not only just our work, it's our ministry. Thank you.
Well said, Beth. Well said. Thank you for being on our podcast. And I hope that somebody hears this today and reaches out to you and starts their breakthrough. And that it's always about paying it forward, isn't it? You had your own, and I feel the same way about myself with working with some of these guys I'm working with. So thanks again for being on. This was awesome to listen to you. I always get fired up listening to you.
Thank you, Eric. Have a great day.